Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, you know the date is the 27th of Rabi'ul Akhir 1446, and our honorable guest, and at different times, Hazrat Mulana is doing programs as well in the morning between 4 to 6 as well. On the program of Hazrat Mulana Salim Kareem, As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. Hazrat Mulana Musa Akuri comes on there as well. Let's welcome Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Last week, Mulana gave us a teaser of the experiences there in Zanzibar, and we were just struggling then to get hold of Mulana. But inshallah, today everything goes smooth. Mulana, how's everything in Zanzibar? As we know, you are there, and the listeners, I think, are still informed from last week. Mulana is in Zanzibar. Mulana, share with us your thoughts.
Alhamdulillah, Rahim. وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا أَيْضًا سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To all the listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, and Mulana Zahid Saab, who hosts this particular program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hazrat Mulana, you were speaking about Zanzibar. I remember last year you said that everybody knows it as a place for honeymoons and that. So, are you there, Mulana?
Gee, I'm with Mulana.
So,
Mulana.
Alhamdulillah, Zanzibar is a very, very, very beautiful place where it's an island, you know, and it is affiliated to Tanzania. And it's very, very famous for its jade and turquoise beaches and everything. It has got approximately 98% Muslims, they say, yeah. And this island here survives mostly of tourism. And there are a lot of European tourists that come out to these particular places. There's one thing that surprised me, Mulana, and our listeners, that the hotel, the establishment where we're staying here, they don't have many Muslims working for them. You know, the staffs, amongst the waiters, etc., and the chefs, and that. So I inquired, like, how is it possible that, you're not employing your local Muslims? Now, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, you have to see the quality of iman of the local people, that they do not want to contaminate the habits and ways of their children. So they don't send them to these establishments, because most of these hotels, they have these foreign tourists, and these people here, contrary to their own teachings in their own Bible, and of course what the Quran Majid teaches as well, you'll find that they in Timothy, I was just seeing chapter 9 verse 2, where they speak about modesty, and this nation has lost their modesty. So the locals don't want their children to start consuming alcohol or, be mixed with these particular people so that they can lose their morals and their haya. So that's one thing profound that I saw in this particular place here. The other day, just to admire the nature and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we went in with a boat, and these boats are made of fiberglass, quite long, and they had only a 15 horsepower Yamaha motor. And you'd be surprised how they take you deep inside. So anyway, when we went in, then we call them the skippers of the boat. They actually communicate you know, with one another as to where the dolphins are. So the dolphins were deep inside, you know, and it was quite a distance. So our host said, no, man, we should turn back because this is going right towards the sea, deep inside. And then the skipper said, no, like, you know, so honestly that you paid for this trip to come and see dolphins, I must let you at least see the dolphins. And alhamdulillah, you know, his name was Abu Bakr, and he took us. And look, you know, behold, it was so beautiful when we saw these dolphins, and we spent almost 2 hours there, you know, watching the dolphins, the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how uniformly, you know, they all like, you know, when children stand or in athletics, people stand in a straight line or they're waiting now to take off. Then when these dolphins, they all come out all together, you know, on the surface of the water, go in and then make a display of themselves again, and they do it. It was so beautiful, the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is just an iota, you know, the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a noble Quran, أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do you not see the camel, how it has been created? That the camel can go for days in the desert. I think it's about 21 days without any water. It has got strong eyelashes that it can withstand the strong winds of the desert with the sand. You know, it's got 4 sets of knees, and it slowly goes into the desert. وَإِلَى السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ رُفِعَتْ. Don't you see the sky, how it has been raised? I mean, you know, the skies are so beautiful. The sun rises here, you know, right in front of my room. After Fajr, you see the sun rising. It's a beauty to behold, the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then even the sun sets on the water. There were 2 times where we, in the afternoon, took a boat and we went down, you know, right across the horizon, and we saw the sunset. And it was so splendid, so beautiful to see the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, there is absolutely no deficiency in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Timelessly, the sun will rise, and timelessly, the time will set in its various regions. It is absolutely beautiful and absolutely stunning. So alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we see these dolphins also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in ayah, وَإِلَى الْأَرْضِ كَيْفَ سُطِحَتْ, and how the earth has been spread out. وَإِلَى الْجِبَالِ كَيْفَ نُصِبَتْ, and the mountains, how they are firmly rooted in their places. So like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the oceans in the noble Quran, you know, where the oceans meet, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ بَيْنَهُمَا مَرْزَخُ لَا يَبْغِيَانِ. There are many, many ayats in the noble Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, brings to our attention His might and His power, you know, how He's created these oceans. So alhamdulillah, you know, I on one particular day, I saw 3 different colors of the water, and the water is so crystal clear that I was telling my friend here, I was telling him that, you know what, for us to keep one swimming pool clean is very, very difficult. Sure. But out here, I mean, you know, vast stretches of water, and it's absolutely beautiful, you know, turquoise, jade, you know, blue, and blue is one color, and white is one color, green is another color. There are so many different shades in them. It is amazing. Walk into your garden, you know, walk into the forest, and you'll see all these different color, the colors of green. Look at the sky, you know, look at the ocean, and you see all these different color blues. You cannot help by saying, you know, subhanallah, wa tabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. No, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of barakah and blessing for us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of creators, and He has created this year. So it's absolutely beautiful. You know, if you want a little bit of a break and you come out to a place like this here, which is not very, very far off from us, you know, and you just come with the explicit need of coming to visit the Muslim brothers, you know, to set up or assist the Muslims here, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, all the little children that you see in the streets, you know, school hours, after school, madrasa, they all clad in burqa. little two-year-olds, three-year-olds. The women folk also dress in a very, very same way. You know, it's a 98% Muslim country. So the language here is also Swahili. And Swahili is derived from the word Sahil, the people of the shores. So the when the Spanish, they came in here, and I don't know much about the history of this place, but inshallah, we'll have to learn something about it. And it's good to know, you know, about the various regions and the people in those particular places. So the Spanish, you know, they were also at their glory once upon a time. Then they had controlled this particular island, and then they started off the slavery. Then they say that now, after that, the Sultan of the Sultan of Oman, they took over, and they controlled this area for many years. And you'll find that the Swahili language has got probably 60% of the words in Arabic. So it's quite notable that there's a lot of Arabic words. You know, for welcome they would say qaribu. You know, Sittin, Sab'in, these are the words, the Arabic counting numbers they use in few of the counting systems, etc. So there's been a very, very great influence of the Muslims. And, you know, wherever the Spaniards, if you look at history, if the Americans went to the Americas, they killed so many Red Indians, you know, and then they established their land. Then they if you look at New Zealand, the Maoris, you know, they were, many of them were killed. And then you find that the same people from Europe, you know, they landed up there. If you look at Australia, then you will find that a lot of these Europeans came there to Australia, and then they killed the Aborigines. You know, and in the Red Indians in America, exactly what they're trying to do, and I like how these people are occupied now the Middle East, you know, with the armies, and they put the proxy right in Israel, and you know, instead of you know, sending aid or food and everything, they're sending aid to the oppressor in the form of bombs and all these type of things. So this was their trail and their ways and their habits. So you'll find that the Europeans only wanted to, you know, take the resources. If you look in the whole of Central Africa, especially the French, when they came into Algeria, and you look at, I went to Ethiopia, to Somalia, I remember many years back. Then in Somalia, one area was controlled by the Italians. They still eat spaghetti there until this day. Another area was controlled by the British. And there was another area that was controlled by the French, you know, so they leave their influences in all these particular places. Now, as far as a Muslim, like the Sultan of Oman, they came here, then they established trade, you know, with the East. And it was a very, very vibrant port for trade. And then we went to a spice farm, and it was a 3-hour walk into this entire spice farm. And it was absolutely amazing that the crops that they grow here were introduced by the Omani Sultanate. And the cloves, I think you get the best cloves in the world here. So we saw cloves plantations. And then they got different kinds of grapefruit, you know, and they give you some medicinal values of certain plants as well that you see out in the spice farms. Everything is just the kudrat of Allah. It is definitely, and cardamom, how it grows, you know, they have a huge, big, what do you call it, like a shrub. And then right at the bottom, you'll find that the cardamom little species, a little come out, and I think they flower twice a year. So that's why cardamom is so expensive. And then they gave us green, you know, the black pepper variety, but still when it is green, so we'll call it green pepper. Pungent and strong, you know, when we ate it. That also is in abundance in this particular land here in this country. And then there was pineapples. I mean, you know, everything in the marketplace is absolutely organic. You know how Allah created it. You see there, the potatoes, the cucumbers are so beautiful. You know, last night I was in the Darajan market area in Stone Town, and you know, it is absolutely fascinating. You know, to see you know, the different kinds of vegetables. So they were selling some cucumbers. Short, small cucumbers, split into half with a stick holding it, and then you got salt on the side. So, I mean, you know, just for a few cents, you buy a cucumber and you eat it. Oh, so tasty it was. So everything is organic. So we saw pineapples, you know, growing in the farms. And these pineapples are very much different from the pineapples we have here. They're very, very long pineapples. So you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything for us. It is absolutely amazing. And then there was, this area is also very, very famous for cinnamon. And then they showed us how they cut the cinnamon lengthwise in pieces. So then you just get those pieces. And when they cut it right around uniformly of the three, then you have the circular one, the rolled cinnamon. And you know, our guide was telling us that sometimes they cut off the entire tree, and then the tree is reproduced within 3 years again, and then they use up all the other bark. Otherwise, they just cut off from the tree the bark cinnamon. And once they cut it off, you rub your hand, you know, onto the raw edge of the tree, and you smell your fingers. It is what a beautiful smell it leaves on your fingers. So, you know, a tree giving off a fragrance, it is unique. I mean, a tree producing for us black pepper, it is unique. Then nutmeg trees, so many in abundance. It was absolutely amazing that how the nutmeg grows. You know, it looks like a peach, and then they cut it open and then they take out the nutmeg itself, and then when they peel the nutmeg, then I think they call it in Gujarati and Urdu javatri, you know, I don't know what they call it in English. That is a different aspect. And then the ball itself, that's the nutmeg. So we saw these nutmeg trees also in the plantations. So all around you see the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was absolutely amazing. Yesterday we went to the Juzani forest. We just took a drive, and in that particular region, towards the south, they have these red color monkeys that are exclusive to this area here. And then you have, I forgot the name of the place, Kinwenzi or something like that, right towards the south. Kilimenzi or something like that. And then they have a cave where all there's plenty, you know, the sea water washes into the cave, and there's turtles there. So also the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we I didn't go this time to the coral reef. We went to the coral reef, but I didn't get off, you know, and put on my snorkeling gear to look at the fish in that, because the last time you know, I'm not a good swimmer, so they put the tube around my waist. And what the tube does is just keeps you upright, you know. So you try and go down to sea, and it throws you up. And then I was drifted until I came into the reef, and then the coral and the rocks had grazed my shins and everything, and the bottom of my feet probably set on some urchins or something like that. And then I got a good few stings, you know, into the heels and my bottom of my foot. So you see these beautiful fish there. So we took a lot of bread with us, and we were just throwing the bread in the kaleidoscope of colors. Ya Allah, your creation is so magnificent, so beautiful. Turquoise and yellow and orange stripes and pink heads, you know, fish. I can imagine only how beautiful you are, Ya Allah, when you see this kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely stunning, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I wish, you know, we must teach our children at a very young age. And that came to mind where there's a, we went to Stone Town. And Stone Town is hundreds of years old buildings. And, you know, you can walk through, and then they've got restaurants, and they've got shops selling Tanzanite, which is a famous kind of a stone that comes out from this area here, which it's known as a Tanzanite stone. So that's quite common in this particular area here. So when we went there, then they have these youngsters, a lot of them, they welcome the people to Zanzibar, and they the famous term, you know, is Akuna Matata, you know, and Akuna Matata, there's nothing to fear, there's nothing to worry about, Akuna Matata. They like to say that word, and then they welcome, and then they run, and from the top like that, yeah, you know, with a board showing welcome to Zanzibar. They dive into the water, then they come out again and suddenly, you know, other people. And I saw a young Omani boy, you know, same thing, you know, welcome to Zanzibar, and he runs, stands there for a while, and into the sea, he jumps in, you know, takes a good few meters, that probably about 20 meters or so, dives down there, and then he's swimming, you know, and I'm saying that, you know what, we need to take our children also, and, you know, to enjoy this Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was also like horse riding, and what they call it, archery, and swimming, you know, that we speak about sunnah sports and that. So we also must teach our children, you know, sometimes our little young ones, 2 year olds or so, throw them into the water and let them get a little bit of a shock and pull them out again. And then, you know, let them just wade a little bit. And we, our age also, is there'll be nothing lost if we also learn swimming. You know, one academic once I read about it, he was on a boat and he asked the sailor, did you study this, he said the sailor didn't study, so he told him half your life is going to waste. And then when the boat had some problems and, you know, turning and tossing and everything, and he asked this professor here or this learner student here, do you know how to swim? And the student said no. So he says, well, I can tell you that your whole life is going to waste. So even for us elderly people, you know, I get into the water and I'll do aerobic exercises, you know, water aerobics, stretch out your hands to the side, you know, go and try and bend your, to touch your knees, go down, etc., and kick your legs and everything, and you have the slight resistance of the water. It is fascinating. So elderly people also can do this water aerobics. So water sports is very, very great here, you know, catamarans, sailing boats, etc. You'll see them out in the ocean. But the ocean is so splendid and so beautiful. It's the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, quite interesting, quite beautiful, but they're very hot in this time of the year. They say November, December especially, it's quite hot here, you know. Tropical climate, everything outside is green, the flowers are blooming, you know, all some of the, I'm looking out here, some of that's another speciality of this area here. The coconut palms, you know, are upright like they are in Qiyam, and the others that are maybe have been affected with the breeze of the wind, and they are at an angle, you know, as if they are going for ruku. So it's so magnificent, so beautiful. And right out from my window here, I can see this ocean here. You know, I can see the milky white sand on the beach, and then I can see the lighter blue water, the turquoise water, and deep inside the darker color water. Fishing is also a very, very good sport out here. You'll see in the marketplace, yesterday I saw them selling marlin and big, big tunas, you know, so that's a specialty. People who haven't eaten tuna, the tuna here is just like a steak, you know. So all around, every step that you take, you just say, Tabarakallahu Ahsanul Khaliqeen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, is a best of creators. How wonderful Allah has created this. And numerous times, you know, I would say, if this is so beautiful, then what is Jannat like? What will Jannat be like? You can just imagine what Jannat, how splendid and beautiful Jannat will be. Ya Allah, you know, the manazir, the scenes of your beauty are manifest, you know. It's so much, as I hear about the Maldives and all those areas, we should go down over there. But this area here on our doorstep is absolutely stunning, with the calm turquoise blue seas. And, you know, it's got light waves that are coming in here, you know, and... absolutely stunning, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Mulanaji,
Mulana, you just put us into a different mode, and we just want to be with you now. But inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible that we all in Jannah together. Just 2 questions before we leave you, Mulana. One is, do you need a visa to go to Zanzibar?
No, you don't require a visa at Zanzibar, but they've come up with a new system here where you have to have a 3 months medical and other insurance for $44. So you will not be able to board the flight until you have, produced your medical insurance, which you get online. Okay. So you can't pay for it at the airport or anything like that. You've got to do that online. And the second thing is, they'd like to see a return ticket. you know, when are you coming back? So, but visa is on arrival. People are very, very friendly, very, very helpful, etc. And then from South Africa, we have SAFE flying out. And you won't believe me. In my instance, I went and went, you know, if you're just booking for 2 or 3 days from now, the tickets can be as much as 4,000, 5,000 rand a single way. And so by mistake, by error, I booked for the 21st of November. And it was 2,300 rand for a one-way trip. And so my wife told me, actually, it's 21st of November. She says, no, we're supposed to be back by then. So I then again contacted them, and, you know, there were the people that I booked through, and I was on a chat with them, and then they changed the date for 17th of October, and alhamdulillah, they never charged me a cent. So if you look, you know what I mean, on the portals, you'll find that you can pick up a flight for 2,300 rand, and you can, you know, if you book well in advance. So, and those booked flights are full. So a lot of tourists that are coming out here. So alhamdulillah, that makes it quite easy. Last week I just spoke a little bit about the Islamic side. That was our aim and our object, that they don't have a structured syllabus here. People are very, very good. And so, you know, we introduced a Shafi Mazhab syllabus in Arabic. And then Molana from Batkal, you know, he was also here, Molana Athar, to give a talk to all the Muallimin, you know, the teachers in a workshop, you know, and he spoke mostly on time management. And number two was on the structured syllabus, you know, that to convey to our children. And the most important thing, like, you know what I mean, is our responsibility. We are all weak. But you know what? What we need to do in South Africa as well, and here as well, and all over the world, you know, is to create the love of Islam in the hearts of the children, and to create the desire for amal and actions. That is so very, very important, you know. So alhamdulillah, we're here for that as well. So make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, assist us in this endeavor. And this one thing has been coming to my mind, Maulana Zahid, and I think you must promote this on radio as well. Take a couple of our children in our families, you know. Sometimes I feel I'm here in Zanzibar, what did I do at home? That we must learn the Zulu language. And what happens is, we must start off now. We must start speaking to them. So let us appoint in every area, every madrasa, you know, about 30, 40 children. Get a Zulu teacher, you know, to teach them Zulu. Alhamdulillah, we've got a lot of our ulama, you know, who speak the Zulu language as well, you know, and bring them along and give them a time in a madrasa 3 or 4 times a week. And, you know, Khaila Bona and, you know, Zulu, and, you know, and teach them, not the Fanagalo type, the proper Zulu language. Because I remember Nelson Mandela, he said, when you speak to somebody in English, you try and get a message to their brains. But when you speak to them in their language, you get to their heart. So inshallah, we have a lot of work to do, you know, in the whole of Africa, and especially even in our country as well. So we must focus in this direction as well. We have failed miserably, you know, in doing dawah in the local areas as well. So we must aim for that as well, you know.
Inshallah. It's a good suggestion, Mulana, and inshallah, someone will take this forward. Mulana, we appreciate your time. Inshallah, next week, or when Mulana is free again, we will chat more on the Islamic side and more on the syllabus and everything, inshallah. From us, we say Jazakumullah Khairan for taking out time for us and sharing us with us your experiences. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It was Hazrat Maulana Musa Akuri, mashallah, and sharing with us these beautiful experiences. From us in the team, we appreciate your time as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.